What if everything you believed about building a successful brand was backwards? Most business leaders assume that expanding their brand across multiple products strengthens it. They believe quality alone drives success, that advertising creates brands, and that descriptive names help customers understand what they're buying. Yet the world's most valuable brands, Coca-Cola, Mercedes, Rolex, achieve dominance by doing the exact opposite. They narrowed their focus ruthlessly, charged premium prices, and chose distinctive names over descriptive ones. This counterintuitive approach to branding explains why some companies become household names, while others with superior products fade into obscurity. The difference isn't what you sell, it's what you stand for in the consumer's mind. Brand power defies business instinct. Expansion weakens you. Chevrolet stretched across 10 car models and became meaningless. Nobody identifies as a Chevrolet person except Corvette owners. American Express expanded from a handful of cards at 27% market share to dozens at 18%. Levi's increased from a few jean styles to 27 cuts, while market share plummeted from 31% to 19%. Executives face an irresistible choice: broaden your line for immediate sales or keep it narrow for enduring strength. Most choose short-term revenue. When your brand tries to mean everything, it means nothing. Mercedes means prestige. Volvo means safety. BMW means driving performance. What does Chevrolet mean? Brands strengthen through focus. Starbucks specialized in coffee. Subway focused on submarine sandwiches. Toys R Us stocked 10,000 toys versus department stores 3,000. This specialization creates dominance. Narrow focus, stock deeply, buy cheap through volume, sell competitively, dominate your category. Microsoft owns 95% of operating systems. Coca-Cola controls 70% of worldwide cola sales. The path to power is contraction, not expansion. Brands are born through publicity, not advertising. In our over-communicated society, new brands need favorable media coverage to break through. What others say about your brand carries infinitely more credibility than what you say about yourself. The most effective publicity strategy is being first in a new category. Band-Aid, Charles Schwab, CNN, Domino's, and Heineken generated enormous publicity as category pioneers. The media wants to talk about what's new and first, not what's better. Major tech brands like Microsoft, Intel, Dell, and Cisco were created through publicity in business publications, not advertising. Once established, advertising becomes essential for maintenance. Your advertising budget functions like a defense budget. It doesn't build anything new, but prevents you from losing what you've built. The most effective advertising for market leaders promotes their leadership position, as leadership is the strongest motivating factor in consumer behavior. Heinz, America's favorite ketchup, and Budweiser, king of beers, work because consumers believe the better product wins. This creates a powerful cycle. People buy the leading brand because they think it's better, which keeps it the leader, which reinforces the perception of superiority. A brand should own a single word in consumers' minds. Mercedes owns prestige, Volvo owns safety, BMW owns driving. This specific positioning creates powerful differentiation competitors can't easily overcome. The most common branding mistake is attempting to broaden a successful brand, which dilutes its power and confuses consumers. Category-dominant brands like Kleenex, Jell-O, and Coca-Cola become so powerful, people use them generically. Make me a Xerox copy or hand me the Scotch tape. This typically happens when brands enter first and maintain focus. If you weren't first, create a new category by narrowing focus. Federal Express focused solely on overnight delivery against Emery Air Freight's broader offerings, becoming the generic term until they diluted this position by expanding globally and into other timeframes. The key to brand building: focus on a single word or attribute nobody else owns. Consumers have limited mental bandwidth. They typically associate only one primary attribute with each brand. Success comes not from capturing market share, but from creating new markets by narrowing focus and owning a word in the mind. Quality matters, but brands aren't built by quality alone. What constitutes quality is largely subjective, with surprisingly little correlation between marketplace success and product testing results. A better strategy: start with a higher price, then determine what to add to justify it. Rolex made watches bigger and heavier. Callaway made drivers oversized. Montblanc made pens fatter. High price itself builds quality perception. Premium brands like Rolex, Mercedes-Benz, and Absolut provide affluent customers with psychic satisfaction from public consumption. The Rolex wearer isn't seeking punctuality, they're displaying their ability to afford a Rolex. Premium brands deliver emotional benefits, status, belonging, self-expression that transcend practical utility. Perception of quality matters more than quality itself. Premium brands maximize consumer surplus by increasing perceived value through branding, not lowering prices. Apple commands premium prices despite similar component costs. Grey Goose became a billion-dollar brand despite blind taste tests showing little difference from cheaper alternatives. A brand ultimately reduces to a name, your most critical branding decision. While unique ideas help brands survive initially, that uniqueness fades, leaving only the name's perception in consumers' minds. Xerox pioneered plain paper copying, but now all copiers use plain paper. The difference isn't the product, it's the name. Xerox itself, short, unique, high-tech, remains the company's greatest asset. Yet marketers undervalue names, choosing generic descriptions or line extensions. East Asian mega brands exemplify this error. Mitsubishi, Matsushita, and Mitsui market everything from cars to semiconductors under one name. Despite Japan's top 100 companies matching America's in sales, their profit margins lag dramatically, 0.8% versus 6.2%. Korean chaebols like Hyundai follow the same strategy, making everything except money. Successful brands have distinctive, memorable names: Google, Apple, Nike, Amazon. Products get copied, features get matched, but a powerful name occupies a unique mental position competitors cannot dislodge. The fastest way to destroy a brand is putting its name on everything. Over 90% of new products are line extensions, creating 1,300 shampoos, 200 cereals, and 250 soft drinks. One supermarket study found 5,500 of 23,000 items sold nothing in an entire month. The beer industry expanded from 3 major brands to 14 varieties, yet combined market share barely increased and per capita consumption stayed flat for 25 years. A1 Steak Sauce, dominating with 70% market share, extended into poultry and failed. Consumers didn't associate A1 with chicken, undermining the core brand's steak identity. When markets shift, launch separate brands. Toyota created Lexus rather than extending into luxury. Volkswagen acquired Audi instead of stretching upmarket. The internet makes strong branding crucial. Generic names like Cars.com, Furniture.com, and Pets.com failed despite massive advertising because they couldn't differentiate. Successful internet brands use proper names, suggesting the category without becoming generic. AskJeeves.com and DrCoop.com exemplify this. Online, monopolies rule. Second-place brands must narrow focus and create new categories to dominate. Your brand's survival depends on standing for something specific. Every extension weakens that position. Focus isn't a limitation, it's your greatest competitive advantage.